We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
Consumers are going through a lot right now. We all are. Even if you're in a good situation, the mental burden can be a lot. And we're seeing people really embrace the opportunities that they have to celebrate. So we saw this around Easter, where we actually refreshed our data in early April to ask people if they were still celebrating, even given the pandemic. And then we found the same thing with Mother's Day, that just as many people are planning to celebrate these events this year as they were in the past. And about 2/3 say it's actually important to them to celebrate these events because of the pandemic. So people want to recognize their loved ones, take a moment to celebrate. And again, it might be happening in some different ways.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Well, actually, even now, in the middle of a pandemic. Well, it's great to be back to recording Retail Gets Real. It might sound a little different because we're all working from home. It's a difficult time for everyone. Retailers are in particular need right now. Today, we're looking at how consumer behavior is changing amid the COVID-19 crisis, with NRF Senior Director of Industry and Consumer Insights, Catherine Cullen. As always, I'm thrilled to have her as my colleague and my friend and my co-host, Jen Overstreet. Hello, Jen.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good. How are you? I just had to have some suspense there because I have three people in front of me. Who was I going to pick?
Well, I appreciate it.
I'm glad that we're able to do it. And it's nice to see everyone, truly. It's great to be able to do this with faces and not just voices. So, Catherine, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me on our first Zoom episode.
Well, yeah. How are you doing?
I mean, you know, it's different. I was not expecting a pandemic in 2020. So, as you all know, I have 2 9-month, almost 10-month-old twins at home. And that's fun.
Yeah, fun. It never gets more subjective when you talk about 9-month-old twins and being stuck inside with the pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it's probably good we can't hear their opinions. We don't know what they're saying. You know, we just know they have strong opinions, but, you know, I can't tell if they're actually upset at my parenting style.
And Jen, how are you doing? You've got young ones too.
I have a 3.5-year-old and I get a lot of opinions out of her, actually. She has a lot of thoughts that she likes to share all day long. So
there's no doubt.
Yeah, it's kind of challenging, I would say. But I think most parents out there are going through the same thing.
Yes, they are. I think about the ones, you know, you think back to when you were young and being stuck at home all day, every day, not being able to go out and play with your friends. It's hard for me to even fathom what that's like. It's difficult as an adult. I can't imagine what it would be like as a 10-year-old, even a teenager, a young teenager. But anyway, all right. So let's talk about some of the research we've been doing around the consumer during this time of a pandemic. What have we been tracking, Catherine?
Well, we've been tracking consumer sentiment on a number of fronts. I mean, I think one of the things we're all wrestling with right now is this is a situation that is evolving rapidly. You know, it's hard to predict exactly what's going to happen next. And so we're trying to get in front of that and take a real-time pulse on what consumers are thinking and feeling. So we're going out every week with consumer surveys, tracking how concerned people are, how they're shopping, what's, you know, weighing on their minds, how is their behavior changing. And then we're also going out on a broader basis, at least once a month with our partner, Prosper, to get a broader picture of how the consumers are feeling about their paychecks, about, you know, virtually celebrating events and all of those kinds of things. So it's been really informative. I think we can all relate to some of the consumer data coming back. People are worried. People are trying to be safe. And as a result, they're changing their shopping behavior. But it's definitely very relevant right now. This is something we are all experiencing at the same time.
Catherine, you said we're polling weekly. Have we seen, you know, there's been sort of these phases of shopping, these phases of like emotions during this whole crisis. What has the change been like week to week?
Well, I think we saw a really big jump from mid-March to early April, just in the percent of people who were concerned and concerned about the impact on their own personal well-being, their health. All of a sudden, I think this became very real for a lot of people. And we saw that reflected in our data. We've also seen an increase in the percent of people saying that they are using buy online, pick up in store. That has gone up. We've also seen an increase in the percent of people saying they're online shopping now instead of heading to the store. So obviously some of that is forced on people by circumstances, but so it was about a third in mid-March, and now we're seeing about half of consumers saying that they are, you know, switching their shopping behavior and shopping online where they can.
And do you do the curbside? Have you ever done it?
My husband has, so I guess. But you know, I outsource these things, Bill.
Smart woman.
So yes, we have used, and I think we're seeing this in how people are shopping as well. People are using a variety of methods to get their items because one store might not have everything, or you know, you might need something last minute and have to go in yourself or use delivery. But yes, we have used curbside with Whole Foods. We've used buy online, pick up in store with Target, and we have used almost every delivery service out there. So, you know, I think we're really seeing consumers embrace these, especially we have some recent data that came back this week showing how boomers are embracing some of these delivery services in the way they haven't in the past. But I would caution, you know, it's really easy to look at these numbers, to look at the headlines and say, oh my God, everyone is only shopping online. Everyone's only using delivery services. There's all this spike in demand. And I think that ignores the fact that different parts of the country are experiencing this in different ways and on a different timeline even. So for some folks, home delivery and Instacart might not be an option. Maybe it doesn't accept their payment method. Maybe it doesn't operate in their area. And so overall across the country, we actually see just about a third of consumers are using these types of services, buy online, pick up in store, curbside, home delivery. That's up from a quarter in December, so it has grown, but it's not sort of the 80% you might expect given some of the stuff we read right now. So I think that's just good to keep in mind that while this pandemic is impacting the whole country, people are experiencing it in different ways.
It's really interesting. I'm sorry, Jen, but I have never used the curbside before. I have learned how to do it, and I think I really like it. And so part of the thing that people have been talking about is that this pandemic has kind of moved technology maybe 5 to 8 to 10 years over where it would have been without the pandemic. I mean, it would have taken that 5 to 8 to 10 years to get where it is going to be, you know, next year, basically, when this thing kind of, we have the vaccine or whatever it is. And that's amazing to me. And as a boomer, I will tell you, I'm embracing it. I think it's fantastic.
Catherine, you said that in general, buy online and pickup went up from a quarter to a third. With boomers, was it even more dramatic of an increase? Do we know that?
So the quarter to a third is just for grocery. Okay. We also have data on buy online pickups in store overall, because of course, groceries are not the only thing people need right now, cleaning supplies, those types of items. And yes, we did see a sharp increase.
Well, I was just wondering because my parents are now doing it. And my parents, I wouldn't say they live in a rural part of the country. They live in Wichita, Kansas. So it's a metropolitan area, but it's in the middle of, you know, it's in the Midwest, and they're a little bit slower to adopt things like that out there in more rural-ish areas. But yeah, and they were just overjoyed that they could do this, that, you know, once they got the hang of it, you know, my dad was just so excited that he could just drive up to the Dillons and someone would put his groceries in the back of the car. So I don't think they'll ever go back. they're converts now to this whole way of shopping, which I think is an interesting question of, yeah, is the adoption rate, are people doing it now just because of the convenience and will they start going back to the stores, or is this, like Bill said, kind of propelling us into the future of a more integrated digital physical world?
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to see more usage of this, whether it's But I think it also is important to remember people do like going to the store for certain things. I, for one, am dying to go to the store. But we hear from people, they particularly for produce, they like to pick out their own items. And so that is something where we may see people go back to wanting to pick out the tomatoes they need or the cucumbers because they feel that subjectively that they can pick what's best for them. Or if something's out of stock, they know exactly what they want to use to replace it. So I think it'll be a mix. I think beyond sort of larger grocery chains doing this, I've seen a lot of innovation with small businesses too. Letting you order through Facebook if they don't have kind of an integrated buy online pickup in store system, and people being really scrappy with allowing this, which I think has been interesting. And we could see that continue as consumers say, hey, why don't I just message my favorite business on Facebook and see if they'll take my order and bring it out to my car.
So Catherine, tell us, I mean, what are the top items right now? What are people buying?
Well, we know that a lot of people, about 45%, are focusing on what they need right now versus what they want, which makes sense. People are at home, they're dealing with a lot of uncertainty. We know the big items for them are grocery, cleaning supplies, and personal care. Those three categories are, you know, ones consumers are buying every week or every couple of weeks to make sure they have enough on hand. That said, staying at home has definitely given rise to some new needs. And also consumers are looking to kind of take some joy where they can. And if that means, you know, treating themselves to something new, we're seeing them do that as well. So categories like books have really gone up. We've seen consumers planning on gifting more books and media and electronics for Mother's Day, for example, because they know their parents and their spouses are at home. And these are things that they can enjoy while at home during the pandemic. We're also seeing people, you know, gravitate towards crafting and other sort of hobby type purchases as well. So I think in the midst of all of this, what's become essential is sort of changing a little bit because it's not just what you need to eat and stay alive, but also kind of stay sane and continue having some sense of normalcy during this time.
What's something that you think is essential that's not like groceries or cleaning supplies? What's your treat?
I'm not saying this, but the consumer's data says that a large portion purchased alcohol and CBD products
CBD,
remain
oh, yeah,
essential.
Right.
But for us, you know, we have sort of, we enjoy supporting local restaurants around the area and we aren't doing that as able to do that as much anymore. So we're trying to order a fun snacks. So we have on Fridays a fancy cheese and charcuterie, which might just be cheddar, but we call it fancy cheese. So we're trying
well, even cheddar
to
can be fancy.
Can. Thank you, Belle. And so we're trying to do some stuff like that and have just some fun foods without, you know, while still trying to stay healthy. But that's been kind of a fun tradition to implement for our family. It also makes it feel like Friday rather than just another day.
Yeah, it's been interesting because we've been buying things that we wouldn't normally buy. Ice cream, for example. I don't normally eat ice cream unless I go out. And now it's a real treat and we really enjoy it. I bought some, you know, I don't buy candy, but I bought a bag of Reese's peanut butter cups and it's kind of like my reward for getting through a very long day. And, you know, the one thing I am doing though, more than, and I'm more focused on it and more adamant about it is exercise. And we are walking every day. We're taking the time to, you know, because of these new essentials like ice cream and Reese's peanut butter cups, as well as the beer, we recognize that we have to stay healthy. And so that's been a part of that regimen. What about you, Jen?
Ice cream, for sure. Yeah. My husband, who is the designated grocery shopper, and we always do kind of a blend. It's like what we can't get online, we'll get in the store or vice versa. And he was saying, yeah, the grocery aisle that has the frozen ice cream in it was just like, every time he goes, it's just like depleted. So you and I are not the only ones eating ice cream.
I guess it's a real comfort
seriously
food.
In demand.
I mean,
right
when
now.
You think about it, it just harkens everything good. So, Catherine, you mentioned Mother's Day. That's coming up. What does that look like?
So that's been really interesting because you know, consumers are going through a lot right now. We all are, whether it's even if you're in a good situation, the mental burden can be a lot. And we're seeing people really embrace the opportunities that they have to celebrate. So we saw this around Easter, where we actually refreshed our data in early April to ask people if they were still celebrating, even given the pandemic. And then we found the same thing with Mother's Day, that just as many people are planning to celebrate these events this year as they were in the past. And about 2/3 say it's actually, you know, important to them to celebrate these events because of the pandemic. So people want to, you know, recognize their loved ones, take a moment to celebrate. And again, it might be happening in some different ways. Many people are saying they're going to celebrate Mother's Day virtually. Also, consumers seem to be willing to spend a little bit more where they can, obviously recognizing that not everyone is in the same financial situation right now. But where they can and they're not able to celebrate in person, we believe consumers are spending a little bit more on a gift for their mom because they can't take her out to brunch. So maybe they're sending her a portal or an Alexa to make it easier to connect virtually, or, you know, some gardening tools are, you know, items for the home just to make her feel more comfortable. I've seen lots of things around weighted blankets and how people are gravitating towards those right now. So I think that's driving some of the spending intentions right now, even given everything going on.
They're buying weighted blankets for their mom?
Well, we've seen a resurgence in popularity of weighted
blankets.
My
mother's 94. She couldn't get out of it. You'd be stuck.
So it might not be the gift for you.
I'm just trying to imagine my mother, you know, being stuck by a weighted blanket. Well, it's not like, what? I'm sorry, I can't get up. You know, it's like, I just can't get up. I can get up. I just can't get up. Sorry, Mom.
So you might want to do a little research on these before buying one for your mom. Let's consider that an interim PSA. But yes, so comfort items, right? Things that, whether it's a weighted blanket or just a regular blanket, or, you know, cozy cardigan, or sending flowers to brighten their day. We're seeing a lot of consumers wanting to do these things and to make the event feel as normal as possible. So we had one consumer tell us in a survey that they were planning, because they couldn't do their traditional get together, they were planning a Zoom party with their extended family. Everyone was eating together, and they were even opening a special, you know, bottle of bubbly for the event. And I think we're seeing a lot of that, where people are, again, trying to create a sense of normalcy for themselves and their families. Even if that means adapting what they usually do to this new situation.
It's funny. I was just thinking today, I wanted to send flowers to my mom, but then I thought, are florists non-essential or essential? Are they still operating?
So I think it varies. Some of the larger florist companies that I've seen, as well as some of the online ones I know, are still offering Mother's Day services. So, you know, I don't know what the local level, what that looks like, but it does appear that people can still purchase flowers. And actually, flowers went up a little bit as a category people were interested in giving this year for Mother's Day. Again, I think it's something to make your mom feel special, to kind of not replace you being there, but kind of brighten her day. I don't know, Bill. Maybe it does replace you being
there. Actually, I told my mom a few weeks ago, you know, she's basically in lockdown in this beautiful assisted living facility where she resides. And I said, Mother, if you want me to come get you, I'll come get you. And then you could come up to the farm. You'd be, you know, no exposure, nothing. And she's like, why would I do that? Okay, well, I'm sorry. I thought we'd have some bonding time together, maybe. Obviously not.
I'm kind of good here, Bill.
Okay. Yeah, she may get flowers, she may not. We'll see.
It is fascinating to think about how we as a nation are going through these different holidays, and especially a holiday where it's about showing appreciation for your family, which in many cases you may be separated from right now. So I think it's kind of encouraging to see that people are optimistic about the holiday and wanting to show some love to their mom.
Yeah, we actually saw, so younger consumers under the age of 25, which sadly, Bill, doesn't include you.
Wow.
They are actually trying to spend a little bit more on their moms this year. So I meant spending more, showing more appreciation. So they're planning to spend actually about $40 more this year than they were last year. And that's a group that is much more likely to be celebrating just a mother versus our stepmother rather than a spouse. So that's, you know, really indicative of their spending and where it's going. And again, one of the categories that's helping to drive that is an interest in gifting electronics. Again, I think that's something people are paying attention to because they're at home all the time. And this electronics in many ways make it easier to stream entertainment, to connect virtually, all of that.
So, you know, we're coming up to it, but I wanted to know, with the surveys, anything really pop out at you as a surprise or maybe a new trend or something that you're going to be investigating a little bit further because it was somewhat unexpected?
It surprised us a little bit, you know, sort of this duality in the consumer surveys. On the one hand, people are very concerned and recognize that these events and their shopping behaviors have to change. On the other hand, there's a sense of optimism in some of the results. So, you know, consumers are eager to return to normal if possible. And that's coming back in our surveys where, you know, roughly close to half say that they would like to take their mother out for a special outing or activity, which is down from previous years, but, you know, still a large portion of the population given kind of current stay-at-home mandates. But when asked specifically, you know, how are you adapting your celebrations because of the coronavirus, then they go into, oh, well, we're going to celebrate virtually or we're going to do these other things. But I think their initial reaction is, where possible, we'd like to resume our normal lives. And I think whether that is, you know, by Mother's Day or, you know, later in the year, you know, consumers are eager to kind of get back to the way things were.
I think we all are. So I think we're getting close to time, but before we go, as you are aware, we have a segment called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
So for the segment, we're going to ask you some questions. You're not going to think about it a lot. You're just going to tell us the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm expecting some payback for that under 25 comment.
Yeah. Well, the good news is I've forgotten what that's like. So it's not a problem at all.
I have also forgotten what it's like to be here.
And I'm not so sure that what I remember I like. So we're good. Yeah. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, Catherine, what's the worst part about working from home?
Well, I think the worst part is being away from everyone. I really like working with everyone at NRF, and I miss that part of my day, the big part of my day. I think that's been rough, not seeing everyone's faces.
What are you reading?
I just finished Unorthodox, which they made a Netflix show about. It's about a young woman growing up in Williamsburg, in a Hasidic Jewish community. And it was really interesting. Mm-hmm. Learned a lot.
We normally ask what's always in your refrigerator. So I want to know what's missing from your refrigerator right now.
Oh, we actually just did a large grocery order. But actually, ice cream is missing. I was not able to get ice cream, which is probably good for my pandemic waistline. But it's definitely something I'm missing right now.
What is your must see TV during this pandemic?
I have recently become hooked on Survivor, which is in its 40th season, and I'm very late to the game, but it's been excellent, and it's been a really nice way to kind of remind myself.
Survivor? Like the Island Survivor thing?
Yeah, it's fascinating. It is, and it's really good. And, you know, I'm like, man, as tough as things are, I'm not on an island right now, so. And I have running water.
I can't believe that is still on TV.
Part of it is, yeah, I can't either. I mean, it's like part of it is not just being on the island, but it's being on the island with those people. It's like the island of misfits. I mean,
Well, I will say it's been entertaining.
Yeah, so. I'm sure it has been. The hairstyles are different. Jen, close us out.
What is something that's making you happy right now?
Someone gifted us a Facebook portal a couple of years ago, and we never thought we would really use it that much, but it has become the best thing in our house. It's not just letting us call family, but I can put little videos on it and the twins will watch it, and it gives us about 10 minutes to do something else, and it is fantastic. So that's what I'm doing to treat myself. It's letting my kids watch some Sesame Street.
Very good. So if people want to learn more about the work that you're doing, the research that you're doing, the insights, where do they go?
They should head to nrf.com, check out the consumer insights section, as well as our pandemic coronavirus resources pages, where all of this and more are being featured.
Catherine Cullen, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Jen Overstreet, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
And thank you all out there for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about today's discussion on our website, retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. I never thought I'd ever end a podcast with stay safe, stay inside, stay well. Look forward to next time.